This is the Panthers Blitz Podcast with WRALSportsFan.com's John Stout. You'll hear the latest happenings with Carolina Panthers football, the previews, the game recaps, stats, stories, and special guests. Don't forget that you can listen or download this podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes and Google Play stores. Now, here's the host of Panthers Blitz, John Stout.
Welcome back to Panthers Blitz. It's been a while since we've talked on here, Brendan. I've been on sabbatical for a few weeks. I had a kind of a big thing happen in my life, but I'm back now. We're going to break down the Panthers-Saints game, the wild card weekend. Panthers, if you didn't know, I didn't know this till the other day, undefeated on wild card weekend. The only team that's, I think, undefeated.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 3-0.
Okay.
Pretty good look for them. They're going to need a lot of luck.
All of it.
Against the New Orleans Saints, who beat them pretty handedly twice this year, in week three, and then I don't remember, but later in the
later.
Year.
Later this season.
Either way, you know, a lot of people say it's hard to beat a team twice, but the Saints made it look pretty easy.
Yes, but they did.
Based off of that, is it easy to beat a team three times in a row? I'm not sure, but based off of historical stats, I think it's been 20 teams who have played in the NFL that have played three times. 17 of those have been 17 of those have been winners. So not good for Panthers. But if you look at some historical stuff, which doesn't really matter, it could favor the Panthers. But
I saw it as 13-7. It might be 17. I guess it depends on I didn't go through and do it, so I'm doing it on the second.
Either way, it's not great. It's not good for the Panthers.
But it makes sense though, right? If I beat you twice,
yes,
I'm probably going to beat you a third time. Like, it's not luck that, and it especially wasn't luck in, let me see, week three, and then let me look at it now, week 13. Both of them double-digit losses. I mean, like,
That first one was awful.
That first one was awful.
Now you got to remember, Cam was still injured.
Yeah, very much so.
Very much. He did not look like himself. But he looked a lot like that in week 17.
He did. I was about to say, like, I would say that I'd had week three loss to the Saints as the low point of the season. You can argue maybe with the Chicago Bears, but I think we both know that there is a new low point.
Yes.
And that was last week versus going into Atlanta.
We're not going to get into that game very much. We weren't able to break that down because I was not in the country. But there's not a whole lot to break down except that they were awful.
Trash.
Yes, very good
word.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to just take that, put it in David Jones' locker, and just throw that John into the sea. Like, we just never going to talk about it again.
Yes, I will say, I didn't realize this till yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Entering the playoffs, I think this is the eighth time the Panthers have been in the playoffs. They have never entered following a loss.
Huh.
So that's an interesting little tidbit. Also, entering not only a loss, but maybe one of the worst losses of the year not Panthers history, but it's been one of the most lopsided, ugly games I can recall, especially in the Ron Rivera, Cam Newton era. Cam plays pretty well coming off of a loss, but that was horrendous. Started the game 0-9. It's playoffs, so it's going to be a little different. I don't think that the team could play any worse, but to beat this team, this New Orleans Saints team, who, strangely, you know, you look back at all the years they were so good. Offensively, they were great, but defensively, I mean, they did enough to get by. They did that in 0-9 when they won. But, man, I tell you what, this is one of the more complete teams in the entire NFL. You know, if we're picking teams now to advance in the NFC all the way to the Super Bowl, they'd probably be my pick. I've been just so impressed with them. The two-headed monster at running back. You got Drew Brees. You got formidable guys. Ted Ginn figured out how to catch the ball, apparently. And defensively, they've been good. It's probably AJ.
Yes.
Should we blame AJ Klein for giving the secrets of the Panthers?
That has been the talk of the week in between the final week of the regular season and now the postseason. Now, he's not going to play. He's got an injury, but he's been, you know, that whole thing about him talking about, you know, hey, here's what you need to do to beat Cam. And basically what he had reiterated to the press this week was sacks and pressures are important, but keeping him in the pocket and not allowing him to escape and hurt you with his legs is of paramount importance to the defense, which makes sense because the Panthers offense can stall and it can sputter and it can be a little constipated, and that him running the ball can be just laxative for for to get things going, you know. Just to, you know,
well done,
things,
well
yeah.
Done.
I try, man. I try. But you know, while he's on his jog for his morning constitution, like that's important, and it's going to be important that generally speaking, the Panthers are able to run the ball, not just Cam, but just be able to turn and run the ball to not only physically dominate the opposition, but to keep Drew Brees and that very highly ranked offense on the sidelines. They were fourth in the league in terms of points scored this year. And the fact that you, like, this is the first time in the history of the NFL that you've had two running backs combined for two running backs with 1,500 yards of all-purpose yards each on one team. Like, that's how scary they are. Kamara and Ingram, that's the thing that scares me, even more than Drew Brees, oddly enough. Like, the thing that scares me is the fact that they are able to turn and just hand the ball off and just dominate. Kamara was the number one in the league in terms of yards per attempt in rushes between the tackles. And the fact that they were able to share the load means that neither one of them had those miles on them for this season, and that's scary too, because that means that they're both pretty fresh running into the postseason.
Yeah, and when we broke down the two previous games, maybe not so week three because we hadn't seen how good Kamara was and Ingram, you know. But I think it was the latter game where my key to the game was stop the run. And it's like, stop the run with the Saints? What?
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, when you have Drew Brees, you know you're going to be successful throwing the ball, even if you and I were out there as a wide receiver or catching the ball.
I run nice little dig route.
Oh, yeah? Hey, look, I'm not the fastest guy, but if you throw it in my general vicinity, I have a good catch radius. If it touches my hand, I'm going to catch it. I swear to you.
I'm not that talented, but I make up for it with being slow. So I think that's the really, really important thing. But you're right, though. They averaged 150 yards on the ground in the two games that they played each other this season. These teams know each other so very well. That's the thing that scares me. It's the fact that they know one another so well, and they were still able to dominate them in the regular season. I don't know what other bags that they'll need. I'm not going to get too far into my predictions, but like the Panthers need special teams. They need turnovers. They need something that is going to go off script for them to perform well and for them to beat this team. Because not only are you trying to beat a team that's beaten you twice, but you're going into their home stadium to do so, into the dome specifically. And you had some interesting stuff about how Carolina's performed in those scenarios.
Yeah, from 2015 to now. I don't think they're last, but they're one of the worst in the NFL as far as points differential in domes. That's really strange.
Yeah.
I think it's a negative 41.
But you build your team to what you do, right? Like,
yeah,
Carolina's
I mean,
an outdoor team, and you think about their team, and at least I don't think of them as being a particularly fast team.
Well,
I
just hate looking at it that way, unless you're playing in like Green Bay or Buffalo or something like that. But in any other scenario, I mean, because here in North Carolina, we can be playing in snow, we can be playing in 90-degree weather. You never know.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know what it is? It's the fact that we both had to come in here with like 13-degree temperature today, and I'm just like,
Oh, I love it. I'm also used to it because I spent a week in Canada weeks ago in the snow, dog sledding, literally dog sledding while sick up to my knees.
Why were you
pushing my wife and 10 dogs? Which was awesome and not awesome at the same time.
That sounds terrible.
I digress. We'll get into that next week. But, yeah, I'm going to say again, you got to stop the run. It's scary that the Saints have that firepower now. On the other side of the ball, you brought up that the Panthers need to run the ball as well.
Yes.
But in order to run the ball, they got to keep it a close game.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I just don't think the Panthers are built to come from behind, especially with the lack of weapons on offense.
Oh, man.
One key difference, I really don't know. He's a great player, but I really don't know how much of a difference it's going to make, especially with now how awful. Some of these guys could have a good game, but it's a lot to do with injuries. It's not just that they have an awful, well, they kind of do have awful receiving corps, but Greg Olsen did not play in either of the games.
True.
Against New Orleans this year.
They held him out of he was hurting the first one, and they held him out of the second one because they didn't want him performing on the turf, I think. I think there was something he was still trying to recover from the foot injury, and they weren't 100% sure how he'd be able to recover.
That is correct. And Greg Olsen is the Panthers' all-time, I don't know how to word this, but he has the most receiving yards all-time against the Saints.
Okay.
Twice. I think it's twice he's had 10 catches. So I like historical stats and I don't, because this is a different team. It's a new year.
True.
But, you know, maybe there's that mindset. Hey, I can do this. I've been successful against this team in the Dome. So, I mean, he's a Pro Bowl player. He's a really good player. He did not look like he was in sync with Cam Newton last week. I'm sure we won't see that happen to that extent. You would hope those two all-pro guys are on the same page this year, because I don't think he can do any worse than you did last week.
Yeah, that was the weird thing about the Falcons game, not to go too far deep in, back into that, but they were just weren't in sync. And
it was weird.
It was really weird.
You would think maybe Kalen Clay or Russell Shepard, because they're not that experienced, and Greg Olsen is Greg Olsen. But
right.
It's like, okay, whose fault is it?
Yeah, it was so hard to discern, right? Because obviously no one knows the play call and is it an option route? Is it that they're just seeing the field differently? And again, like you say, it's different. It would be different if it were literally any other receiver, because nobody else has the sort of the track record with one another that Cam and Olsen do, but they just couldn't get on the same. Nobody could. CMC was dropping passes. Olsen mm-hmm. and Cam weren't on the same page. Cam was wildly erratic. It was just the entire offense needed to be put in rice. And it'd be nice if there were just, like, there has to be a certain amount of pressure applied to the Saints. Like, you can't let them get rolling and get rolling early, because you're in New Orleans and that place gets so loud, man. It is raucous.
I've never been there, but yeah. You can kind of hear it through the TV. It's like, wow, okay, that place was rocking.
You can hear it and you can feel it, because they love that. That is as much as they tried to make it more of a basketball town or whatever, like, that is a football town. They're going to be tailgating out there really early, which you know what that means to come game time. It's a, what is that, 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday?
4:40.
Yeah. They're trust, I lived across the street from that place. They're going to be there at 9 a.m.
Might be a little tanked up.
Yeah, look, very, very liquid, courageously. Like that's what it's gonna be. And so, like, the faults and the, like, slow start and stuff like that. Like, I don't know if the Panthers can just come out. They can't come out flat, but I don't know if they can come down and fall down early and expect to get all the way back. Like, I just that is a precarious position to be in. I know it wouldn't shock me if, I know that usually the Panthers defer. It wouldn't shock me if they decided to receive the ball if they won the coin toss, just because you want to get out early and you want to get out as quickly as possible.
I think Rivera came out and said that he's going to continue doing what they're doing.
Okay.
I'm with you, though.
Yeah.
In that environment, if you can go down the field and score,
yeah,
do it.
Just because I just, even if it's just three, it's just.
Points are points.
Point, like, and they're going to need another. Now, as bad as Carolina was offensively last week, man, defensively, they were really, really good, particularly because the offense kept putting them in some really tough scenarios. This is a good defense, man. Like, I think that the secondary has improved. Not, I should specify, the corners. I think the corners have improved. The safeties have been hurt, and, you know, particularly Kirk Coleman has been kind of in and out of the lineup. But I think that this defense is, I think they're fine. I think they're a quality enough. I think that they could win the Super Bowl with this defense. I think that's the best way I can put it. Offensively, I'm always concerned about what you're going to get from this team. I'm not going to rehash the whole, we did this all season, so I'm not going to rehash the whole deciding to jettison your best wide receiver for nothing this year. Fine, cool, whatever. But I'm concerned about Funches' health. Obviously, you've obviously lost two guys in Bird and Samuel that were supposed to be real assets and part of this offense, and so I'm concerned about who exactly Cam's going to be throwing the ball to. I mean, his best two receivers are the tight end and the running back.
That's true. It's a real shame about Tamir Bird.
Yes.
I told you all year I was really excited for this guy. He came in and played really well.
And he had started to kind of come along a little bit.
Those two touchdown passes against Green Bay and the return.
I think they might have somebody
in him.
I think so.
He brings that speed. He's a lot of fun to watch. But, yeah, you bring up the injuries. Devin Funchess has been playing hurt.
Yeah.
You know, he made a few catches. I think he had multiple last week, but he's listed as questionable along with Bad Khalil. I won't refer to him as his real name. And Trey Turner, who I would expect not to play.
Yeah.
The concussion thing.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that right guard position has been such a steady, quality position for them, and for them to lose him towards the back end of the season is just terrible timing.
Both of those guard positions, left and right.
That's true.
Andrew Norwell, named All-Pro.
Yes, that's right.
And Trey Turner. Those guys are the real deal. But yeah, Trey Turner, got to pray for his health. That concussion stuff, it's not fun.
And for the wide receivers, we're talking about, you know, them being hurt. They're also going against a really good secondary.
Yes.
With Marcus Williams and Lattimore. Like, those are legit guys in that secondary.
You bring up Lattimore. I don't think he played against them in either of the two games.
No.
So that's another tally for the Saints.
Yeah.
Going up against a lot of guys who, if you look at the film, aren't able to get a whole lot of separation.
That's the concern for me. I think Cam will be better. I think he'll be more – he'd almost have to be. But I think he'll be more accurate. But if you're requiring him or really any quarterback to – the windows in the NFL are already so small. But if your wide receivers can't win matchups where they're not concerned about keeping a safety over top, or they're not concerned about putting a linebacker on guys, or they're just not concerned about any of the matchups that they're facing where they feel like they have to double, or they feel like they have to contort their defense in order to fit their opposition, you're suddenly facing a defense that is doing what it wants against you, and that is really, really unfair. Not to mention the quarterback. If you're asking Cam to throw it in these super tight windows to so that the wide receiver might be – so that the wide receiver is not only the only person getting it, but that if it doesn't happen, that it'll just – you'll fall by the wayside. That's a tough way to live. That's a tough way to make your living offensively. You're not going to have that many scenarios where it's the perfect throw every single time. If you're requiring that, that's just too much of a burden to put on any quarterback.
Right. Now, I brought up Greg Olsen, and with all due respect to him, it's not negative.
With all due respect, it's usually always negative.
Well, no, it's okay. Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, Devin Funchess. I really like Devin Funchess.
Mm-hmm.
8 touchdowns. He's done a nice job filling in after the trade for Kelvin Benjamin, even though he's been playing hurt.
Yeah.
But it's with all due respect to Greg Olsen, it's not that it's not hard to cover up a tight end. But there's so many things you can do to take a tight end out of the equation, more so than sometimes a receiver, especially when you can just put single coverage on a subpar receiving group.
Right, exactly.
And you know, with the linebackers and the safety. So, to me, take him out completely if you're the Saints. Then what do you have? I think it's going to end up a lot like last week.
Yeah.
They've got to find a way to get McCaffrey the ball. He had a few drops, like you mentioned earlier. Now, Jonathan Stewart will be playing in this game, which to me, you know, he's not who he used to be, but I think that in pass protection and short yardage, I think they play a whole lot better with him in there, and that gives them the opportunity to maybe put McCaffrey in the slot a little bit. But I just, I fear for the Panthers. You know, everybody's like, well, they have two other really good playmakers who are not receivers. Okay, Christian McCaffrey and Greg Olsen, but it's real easy to cover them up, and then what?
Yeah,
I just don't think that
if they know that in the center of the field is literally your only option for passing the ball. I mean, it just takes so much away. I mean, like, you're taking away half the field essentially.
Yeah, and I love Greg Olsen. I think he's maybe one of, if not the best tight ends in the league. And sure, I mean, if they play zone, he can find the open spots and whatnot, but. If I'm them, I would shut him completely out, and I just think the Panthers are going to have a really, really, really long day.
I'm trying not to make this into like just a sad podcast, because I just realized like we're like 18 minutes in, and it's mostly just been us complaining. But I was just looking at the Saints, and I don't know. Yeah, I just don't like their turnover percentage is a little high. I guess they're 24th in the league in that particular one. Like there's just not a lot of obvious. There's not a lot of eyes right now. I'll say this: we referenced Carolina's week ago against the Falcons. The Saints, and this I know you're this guy. Third down, they were really susceptible. Third down versus Tampa Bay, they were really, really bad in that regard. Cam Newton on third down this year has not had a very good passer rating. It's been, I think, it was bottom three this year of the eligible quarterbacks. He's got to be better on third down.
No, I will say, and this happened, I hate bringing up the last week because we don't want to get into that.
Right.
But there were it was third and long. They've been third and long so many times this year. And with what they do on offense, the third and short, you like to think that they can pick that up more times than not.
Yeah.
But especially with the receiving core that they have and the injuries to the offensive line, you don't want to be in third and long. And they were third and eight, third and seven, third and so many times, I feel like last week. And they have got to prevent that. They have got to have sustained drives.
That's the run game, though.
Yes.
Like you talk about chinks in the armor for the Saints. They're 28th this year in terms of yards allowed per rush.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they have to be. They have to exploit New Orleans there. They had to.
Yes.
And they have, I think that they have the guys that do it. Now, Stewart, I don't know what you're going to get out of him because I think he's probably still hurt. If you're getting set the last game of the season when in a game that really does matter, you know, where hypothetically you could end up with the second seed in the playoffs. If you don't play him, then obviously he was injured, and he's going to go out there and he's going to, you know, he's one of an all-time great Carolina Panthers, but they have to get something out of Ryan. And I don't know if that means more Cameron Artis Payne. I know I was, you know, I've been
crying.
How are
you feeling about that now?
Yeah, man, I feel kind of silly.
You watch the slow motion, watch his eyes, watch the ball hit him in the chest and fall down.
That was, I don't even know what
when
to
I
say
saw
about
that,
that.
I'm like, am I going to text Brendan?
Yeah, I wanted to, like, I was trying to tweet out about it. I was just, my heart wasn't in. I was like, man, I just wanted to toss my phone against the wall.
I'm sorry, buddy.
It was rough, man. But, like, I'm going to change the tone of this podcast. Here we go.
I also have some positive things, but you go first.
Yeah. Because so far it's been a little rough. I know, look, man, this was the one scenario I didn't want. I didn't want to play the Saints, and I didn't want to go into New Orleans to do it. And they're doing both. That was the one. I mean, I didn't care about anybody else. They could have played the – I mean, you know, this is before everything was settled. They could have played the Eagles, could play the Rams, could play the Falcons, Vikings. You could literally trotted out any other NFC team, and I'd be fine with it. Go on the road, don't go on the road. Panthers were good on the road this year. I don't care.
They almost – the scenario almost played out where they were going to go to L.A.
Yes, and that's what I want.
And I think that's a much better matchup for them.
Man, I wanted that so bad because I don't really 100% think that you can just after not participating in the postseason for years and years and years, come out, have a home game, and just be everything, be Gucci. If I'm given a prediction, I actually think the Falcons are going to win.
Yeah,
I don't know
I'm
what the line is on that game, and
I'm
sure the Falcons will be underdogs. I would take whatever points I got with the Falcons and be very, very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But – maybe that was them getting it out of their system. Cam Newton, I'm trying to remember the stat, and I won't be able to do it, but I'll give you basically what it is. After Cam Newton has had a bad game, and it's like a sub-65 QBR or something like that, he has almost always bounced back with a really quality game.
Yep.
And so I think that this is going to happen again because Cam Newton is a big-time player. Like, he's one of those guys that you turn the lights on, national media, yeah, I'm here. Let's go get it. Like, I don't have any trepidation about the performance that he's about to put out on the field. My trepidation lies in the other guys. But maybe that was them getting it out of their system, right? Like, that was kind of a tough emotional spot to be in. You go ahead and you clinch your playoffs, and then you go into the home of a team that was one in the Super Bowl last year and has been hearing that Super Bowl hangover stuff all season long after the 28-3 thing. You go into their spot, and they have to have it for a postseason. And you could talk all you want to about, hey, you know, treat every game the same. We're going to get up for every game. You cannot artificially manufacture human emotions. They are still human beings, and everyone knew, hey, regardless of what happens in this game, we're going to play next week. When that is an uncertainty, you're always going to have that little bit of edge, at least emotionally. And so, like, maybe now that all that other stuff is settled, and now that it's win and go home for everybody including the Panthers, maybe you get a better performance from guys.
And you know, you bring up Cam playing better off of a loss. His team has been very good after losing this year. If you look at the schedule, they lose in week 3 to the Saints, and then the next 2 weeks they beat New England and Detroit on the road.
Yeah.
You know, we'll throw out the week 6 and 7 where they lose to Philadelphia and then lose to Chicago.
But after
the Chicago loss, they finished the year 7-2.
Which was arguably their worst loss, yeah.
Yes, and then, you know, they lose again against the Saints, and then they beat the number one.
I think they were number one seed in the NFC right
Yeah, the Minnesota,
moment.
And then you beat Green Bay, and then you beat Tampa, and then... So, yeah, this team has been able to really play well after a loss this season. I know the playoffs are a playoffs, and it's a very different scenario, but I think that we could really see that play out. I mean, they're going to play better than they did last week, and I think Keon could play very well. I'm not sure that even if you get Cam Newton's best game, that they might still not be able to beat this team, because I just think they're very, very good.
It can't just be Cam. It can't just be Cam.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He could have a phenomenal game, but everybody else has got to chip in too. I said I had something positive to say.
Please.
And I'm going to.
Because I'm about to cry.
This sounds crazy, and I've been told that I'm crazy for this feeling this way.
Let me hear it.
But if they can somehow win this game, I like their chances to make it to the Super Bowl.
Fit is for matching straitjackets, bro.
Yeah.
I'm 100% on that same bandwagon. I don't care if it's just us. Like, I will ride that bandwagon with you. I'm 100% the same way. Because I think they're playing the best team in the AFC tomorrow.
Yeah, I do too. And I know that's crazy. It's like, oh, so it's either you can lose and you're out or go to Super. I mean, I really do. I mean, and this is even crazier. I think that you could end up with the Panthers hosting the NFC Championship game against Atlanta. I really do. I mean, you and I have both said a few minutes ago that we think Atlanta can beat I almost called them St. Louis. The Rams, the LA Rams. Sorry to the people of LA. I'm not really sorry, actually, because you have two teams now.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, that's very strange. But
man, what is that crowd going to be like? I've been thinking about that all day. Like,
I wonder what it's they like on a regular basis.
Yeah, they haven't hosted a playoff game in 20 years. I don't know, whatever
it is.
It's been a long
time. Yeah. But yeah, I know it's crazy to think, but if you and I have had this conversation, if you match them up against anybody else in the NFC, look at the top two seeds. They played close with Philadelphia, and that was with Carson Wentz. And they had many chances to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they handled themselves pretty well against Minnesota. I mean, neither of those two teams
they beat Minnesota. Like, that was, I felt very confident the whole time, and they just beat them. Like, they looked like the better team to me. You mentioned the scenarios for which they get to the Super Bowl. I read this piece by Scott Fowler of the Charlotte Observer, and basically he was interviewing J.J. Jansen, the Carolina Panthers long snapper, and his quote was, dome, home, bowl. Right, where it's go to the Saints tomorrow, they presumably win that game. Then you go play the Vikings in their dome, win that game. In this scenario that he has created, the Atlanta Falcons win both of their games as well, which would mean the NFC Championship game would be in Charlotte, win that game, and he goes to the Super Bowl. That's the mindset of the guys in that locker room. Because keep in mind now this I do think is important. While the Saints have won a Super Bowl, that was a while ago. That was in
2009,
right. 09. And they haven't been to the postseason since 2012.
Yes.
That there's less playoff medal on that team. Not for the Panthers, though.
Yeah, four out of the last 5 years.
Yeah. This is a team largely dominated by people who are accustomed, not have been, accustomed to going to the postseason. I think that matters, man. Like, I think that gives you a certain amount of edge, because as good as Kamara is and everything, rookies.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Think about how much veteran leadership and people who have been there before they brought back this year.
Yeah.
Julius Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
They got Thomas Davis. They have all these older guys. Kirk Coleman, who's older.
Yes.
Mike Adams, who is ancient, but he's actually playing very, very well.
Yeah, he is playing well.
Yeah, I like him. I remember everyone was like, are you worried about your speed playing with all these young guys? And he's like, watch the film.
It's true.
Totally, totally. He's really good. He was 1,000,000% correct.
He was good last week, man.
He's been good all year.
Yeah.
But you're right. The one thing I will say is if the Panthers were hosting, I would pick them to win hands down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're onto something with that leadership, and New Orleans has played well and whatnot. But it's been a few years. They got those rookies, could get those jitters. But that New Orleans crowd has got to get you hyped up if you're a Saints player.
Oh, no, look, man, it's, again, I used to work there, lived across the street. That place is, worked in the actual dome itself. That place is nuts. Like, it really, really is. Like, I'm not saying that I've been to every single stadium. I've only been to, like, 3 or 4 NFL stadiums in my life. But that was by far the loudest I'd ever been in.
You know who we have not given a shout-out to yet that we probably should have given a shout-out to?
Who?
Candace Cooper.
Ah, cool. Oh yeah, she shouted. She gave me a little chiding on Twitter. Actually, I had when the playoff things had kind of settled down. I was like, so maybe third time's the charm. Well, you know, wasn't. And she just replied back with a curt but serious, or maybe not. So, thanks, Coop.
Shout out to Coop.
Yeah, shout out to
Coop. We miss you up here. That was a lot of fun having you on the Sports Shop.
Absolutely.
Some good times.
This is the first time I've been in this radio station on a Saturday since the Sports Shop days.
Really?
Yeah, I have never.
You know,
it
has been for me too.
Yeah.
When I was actually produced, those were fun.
Yeah, those
when
were
I
a lot of fun.
I couldn't see you guys.
Yes, we're just like, it's very, very difficult to try to explain this to people that don't do radio, but like that's almost an impossible setup to try to do a show.
When you guys moved in here and I could actually see you, it was
much
really
better.
Weird.
Yeah.
But oh my God, shout out to our old Sports Shop days. That was a lot of fun.
That was.
But let's do our predictions.
Yeah, let's go for it.
I'm gonna give the floor to you.
Man, this blows. Because my head says Saints by 2 scores, by 10 points.
I think that's fair.
I think the Panthers will be better. I think they'll be. I mean, 21-31 was the score of their last game in week, was it 13 or whatever it was?
13. Yep. 34-13 in week 3. I think you throw that game out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
no.
Really
yeah.
Do.
I don't think about it. Mostly because Cam was hurt. Olsen wasn't. I'm.
That's a wash.
Yeah. I tossed it because and the Saints are a different team, right? Like both teams are different. Adrian Peterson was still on that week 3 team. You know what I mean? Like this.
Yep. That's right.
That's a completely different team. But my heart. And I think that I've talked myself into this prediction as I started talking about playoff metal, Cam Newton playing better.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to be this guy. What guy? That guy. 28-24, Panthers. Cam Newton leads a last-minute drive. He's got 3 game-winning drives this season. It's going to be a 4th one. Let's go, Bobby! Let's go! Let's keep pounding! Let's do it!
Wow.
Yeah.
You really talked yourself into that.
I really did not see that coming. I didn't either, man.
Okay.
I came in here super somber, fam. Like I've been up since like we were both talking about like neither of us slept that well last night. I've been up since like 6:30, 7 o'clock. No, like 6:30, and like I've been pouring over these numbers, and I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Get in the studio.
So how much coffee have you had today?
None.
Oh
no. This is the. You know what? I'm high off of Panthers Blitz right now. That's what it is. That's what it is. I'll never be above the influence of Panthers Blitz.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm not going to be as pumped up as you are.
Yeah.
Even though I've had coffee. I've had this big cup of coffee.
By the way.
Oh, yeah. You are the Obi-Wan for me.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't like Star Wars that much.
Accurate.
Just kidding.
Accurate for this particular podcast because not only has the Star Wars thing come out, but you got merit. So that's an apropos mug
right
there.
Yeah, this ring.
I see the ring shining. The bling is pretty. I should have brought my shades.
It looks good with my watch, right?
It does, right?
Yeah. It's weird. I'll be like walking and then.
Yeah.
Like, I have a ring on.
Is it weird? Like, yeah,
it's weird.
You're still trying to get accustomed to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very weird, but I like it. Very happily married all of 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you're not happily married after 2 weeks, bro, you made a mistake.
We've actually, both of us have been very sick ever since our wedding.
Man.
I was sick the entire honeymoon, and Jesse's still sick.
That blow, like, was it flu or something like that?
It was like bronchitis. I never had a fever. She did.
Oh, man.
I'm sure next week when we have more time, we're going to get all into this and the Star Wars because I have a ton of things to say about that.
I'm sure you do.
Getting back to the Panthers.
Right.
I am not going to pick the Panthers to win, even though if they win this game, I'm saying they're going to the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Which is weird.
All or nothing, baby.
So if they find a way to win this game, I'm going to pick them to go all the way to the Super Bowl. But I just think Saints might be the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick them to win 34-24.
Okay. Yeah. That's reasonable.
I think that with the home crowd and either way, because if the Panthers don't get the... If they win the toss, they're going to defer. I think they score on the opening drive, get up by 10, 14 points, and I just don't think the Panthers are able to come back because I just don't think they're built that way.
Right now, they're 7-point dogs. That's what the line is right now.
Now, the Panthers have only given up 2 touchdowns in the past 2 weeks.
See, that's the thing that gives me some amount of pause because I think that they're even though they are facing a juggernaut of an offense, that scares me to no end.
Yes.
That Panthers' defense is legit. And have been legit all year, even with a really faulty offense that has given them short fields and that has given them 3 and outs and everything like that. They have been rock solid this whole time. And that's the thing that kind of – I feel like you can hang your hat on defense. Defense is one of those things that does travel. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, man, if this is a close game, if this is just a close game in the fourth, regardless of how loud it is in the stadium, everyone's going to feel it. You feel it. Like you, when
oh, I'm
when
sure
when
I'd love teams, to see a game
yeah,
there.
When teams get tight, like I've been, because one of the games I went to, it was, well, I was working there, but still, one of the games I was there working the elevators, you could feel it. Like when people would get on and off the joint because they were drinking. Very heavily
in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow,
they
right?
drink there.
Yeah, occasionally they
I
will imbibe.
That was a dry city.
No, they changed that recently. but you can feel it. Like you can get that uneasiness. And I'm just very, very curious to see how that team responds. Also, we went a whole thing without talking about the Saints. Michael Thomas, who has been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Our corners have been good. That is going to be a matchup that I'm 100%. I don't know who's going to be on. I don't know if they're going to decide to put Bradbury on the whole time. It seems like they've kind of shifted off on who gets the number one receiver this year. Yeah. Maybe they just kind of leave him on the side. I've never really noticed that, but that's the matchup that I'm watching for because that's their number one receiver. And the first time in a while, I feel like they've had a dangerous number one guy in that kind of respect.
I do have to give a shout out to somebody.
Yeah.
And this pains me.
Yeah,
I think you know where I'm going. Maybe you don't. I think this will surprise you.
What?
But Daryl Worley has actually played really
yes.
well.
I told you, man. Look, I told you he was coming. I told you Worley was coming along. He didn't get there as fast as Bradbury, but he got there. He's getting there.
He's playing very. I think both of them are playing very well.
I do too.
But yeah, looking back at these last 2 weeks, the Panthers have given up 300 yards receiving to both. Matt Ryan mm-hmm. and Jameis Winston, and they've only given up 66 and 60 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Now I know that's not the two-headed beast in Ingram and
yeah,
Kamara.
That's why. And Devontae missed that last game. I think wasn't Freeman out. I think
no,
Freeman
he played.
Did he? Okay.
He was injured.
Okay,
he hobbled off like 15
yeah.
times.
Okay.
But I mean, that's still pretty solid. I mean, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're going to keep those guys under 100 yards rushing. I really don't. But
yeah.
if they do, they have a chance.
They
really
do.
Have a chance.
Third down,
I
man.
Think that is the key.
Third Cam on third down is going to be that. If I'm circling things, I'm circling a couple things. Cam on third down and what they do versus Michael Thomas are the two things that I'm really, really looking for.
Yes, and on the opposite side of the ball too, they've got to get the offense, the Saints' offense, off the field, or they are in big trouble. And those veteran guys, Charles Johnson, Thomas Davis. Julius Peppers, those guys got to show up in a big way. And another guy, I meant to do this earlier, and I've said this before earlier this year, Vernon Butler is playing pretty well.
He is, yes.
He's playing
yes.
very well.
And that's my Daryl Worley, because I had really kind of fallen out with him, not because I thought he played poorly, just because he was just never on the field. And he's finally kind of started mm-hmm. putting together multiple good games. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
So. Who's your – all right, I know you think that the Saints are going to win, but who's your MVP if the Panthers do pull off this upset?
Cam Newton.
Okay, maybe I should have said other than Cam Newton.
Cam Newton,
yes.
Because if they win, he's got to do it with his arm and his
right.
legs.
Like, if they win, yes, he's going to have to be all world. But it's going to mean somebody. Yeah, it's going to have to mean somebody other than Cam, I guess.
Oh. Can I do the defensive line as a whole?
Okay, that's fine. That's fair. Yeah, because I mean, because it's a collective effort.
You got to get pressure on Drew Brees.
Right.
Their offensive line has done a pretty good job this year. I mean, specifically, I'll go KK Short.
Mm-hmm.
On offense, it's got to be either Christian McCaffrey or Greg Olson.
Yeah, kind of does.
I mean,
Who are the starting wide receivers? Like, who are the top three wide receivers going to be?
It's going to be Funchess, yeah. Shepard.
Is it Burson?
It might be.
God.
Hey, Sunshine,
oh.
He showed up, man.
Man, I might just talk myself back out of it.
Yeah, if Burson's in your top three, you just pick them. I don't.
Hey, man. And it's also funny because Kelvin Benjamin is also in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he hasn't done a whole lot.
No, he hasn't done it. He hasn't done hardly anything at all. If he has a big game, though, I swear, I promise you, I'm going to be on Twitter acting up. I'm going to act up if he's good on it. I'm going to act up if he's good.
I think Andy Dalton being a completely horrible quarterback has more to do with them getting into the quarterback than or the playoffs than Calvin
yeah.
Benjamin.
You know,
or their entire football team.
Did you see the Bills sent
yes.
The Bengals Buffalo wings? I thought that was cute.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was nice.
So I picked my MVP. Who
yeah.
is your MVP?
If you talk, yeah, all right. So,
if they win.
Yeah, if they win, obviously I think Cam's going to be the guy, but I guess the, for lack of a better term, X Factor. I'm going to go with Russell Shepard. I think it's going to be.
I like that pick.
I think it's going to have to be big plays, man. I think this team is like the way that the Panthers are going to have to win. In my mind, is going to be going riverboat run to the extreme, right? Going for it on fourth down before it's the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left, right?
Right.
Like I'm talking about, like you're at your 45 and it's fourth and one, go for it. Like you play a little reckless. Like when you're outgunned. You need to play a little reckless like that. You need to have a special teams play. You need to get a turnover somewhere. So my MVP of the defense would be Shaq Thompson.
I like it.
I need him to, like, yeah, like if Kamara's playing over there in the flat and Drew hits him on a swing route or something like that, I need him to pop Kamara and to force a fumble. There has to be those dynamic, game-changing, I can't believe that just happened sort of plays. That is the only chance that the Panthers have.
And I like that you bring that up. I had this written down. I just never got to it. But I think one of the key matchups is going to be the linebacking core against those two.
Yep.
Running backs. Because they can both catch the ball out of the backfield and be very, very lethal, especially Kamara.
Do you want to do a quick playoff look around the league?
Yeah, why not? We'll do it for this week. So
Titans, Chiefs, Saturday, January 6th, today at 4:20.
Titans, so funny.
Titans versus Chiefs. Chiefs are -8.5. This is in Kansas City.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
Okay, I will too. I think Titans are terrible. Falcons and the Rams at 8:15 on NBC.
I'm going to take the Falcons.
Falcons.
I really think they can win that game.
Yeah, and the Rams are giving 6 points. So that would be, I mean, if one were interested in betting, I'm just giving out there. I'm not a bettor, but, you know. Obviously, we got the 4:40 Panthers Saints, and then 105 is the next one, sorry, at tomorrow afternoon on CBS. Bills at Jacksonville. By the way, shout out to Jacksonville. I'm glad you guys are getting a home playoff game. First time in a while Bills have even been in the playoffs.
I woke up this morning and I was looking at all the times of the games and I saw that matchup. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
These two are playing in the playoffs? But
I told you there are going to be some bad AFC teams that made this thing. Bills have like one of the worst point differentials of any team that's ever made the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm picking Jacksonville.
I'm going to go with the Bills covering Benjamin has a big game.
Oh, Lord.
I'm petty.
Yeah,
I'm Tom Petty over here. I'm Tom Petty over here.
That hurt my heart. May you rest in peace. God, I love Tom Petty so much.
I didn't know I was going to do that to you.
Oh, God, no. I was driving back from Charlotte this weekend. I'm like, I really miss Tom Petty. So I listened to some Tom Petty. Jesse was sleeping in the car. I might have shed a tear, possibly. It was very, very somber moment for me.
I did not mean to put you in that headspace, my bad.
Yeah, man, I was in a good mood. Now, maybe remember he died.
you about to throw something on when you go back home.
Yes, I won't back down. That's what I'm going to listen to.
That's right. That's the theme song. That's the theme song for the Panthers versus Saints.
That's fair. I love
won't
that song.
Won't back down.
Won't back down.
Oh, wow. I'm going to cut that out.
Please do.
And put that as your ringtone.
Please do.
I meant to do that with your Gano thing, but I'm going to do that now.
Oh, man.
Shout out to Gano. He's been phenomenal.
And he will need to continue to be because they have to win special teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see. So you've heard our picks.
Yep.
We differ on the Panthers' picks. I think that we differ on a few of their playoffs picks. Mm. I'm picking the Saints. You are picking the Panthers.
Yep.
Always check me out on Twitter, JohnStout89. Brendan, where can they find you?
At WBHUalum. That's at WBHUALUM.
And we're going to have some pretty cool content this week on WREL Sports Fan in the Panthers Blitz section, so be sure to check that out. And we will be back either Monday or Tuesday to break down whatever happens this game. And we'll give our prediction either way for the rest of the playoffs as well. I'm John Stout. For Brendan Winnett, enjoy the football.
Won't back down, baby. Keep pounding.
Thanks for listening to the Panthers Blitz podcast with WRALSportsFan.com's John Stout. Next week, you'll hear the latest happenings with Carolina Panthers football. The previews, the game recaps, stats, stories, and special guests. Don't forget that you can listen or download this podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes and Google Play stores.